Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording live from the Flag Atrium at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And our special co-host today is Director Pat Kelly, and we're going to meet with him in just a moment. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
It is difficult to talk about our mental health, but it is just as important as our physical health. It's vital that we openly discuss what we may be going through. As citizen soldiers and airmen, we are balancing a life of military training, family life, and full-time work or school. It may feel overwhelming at times, but there are resources available to those who need them, such as Military OneSource and the Crisis Text Line. Reaching out when we are struggling is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Just like a muscle, we can build up our resiliency, our ability to recover from challenges in our life. The Minnesota National Guard is always ready to support our service members. Let's talk about mental health and resiliency and support all of our soldiers and airmen.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're recording today from the Flag Atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And my co-host for this show today is going to be Director Pat Kelly. He's the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And, Director, thanks for hosting us out in the Flag Atrium. It's fun to finally get here.
Well, Tom, we've been planning to do this for I don't know how many years. And so thank you for bringing your show to us. It's nice to have veterans here so they can observe the great work that you do. And you've been so supportive of us for many, many years. So thanks for coming here.
Well, sir, every time we have one of your researchers or your doctors on the show, we learn something. And they're doing great work here at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and all over the state in your outpatient clinics.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, I was just up in Camp Ripley with you. And one of the things we celebrated and noteworthy is that Tom had just is about to complete his 500th show. So that is some really good work on behalf of veterans. So, Tom, congratulations to you and your team. That's really important work.
Thank you, Director. Director, for some of those new stations that are on the network, is around 57 stations all over Minnesota now. I just want to get a little bit into your background. You're a retired Navy captain.
I'm pretty old, yeah. So I retired in 2011 from the Navy after 29 years of service. In fact, I served with one of our guests this morning. I was director in Sioux Falls for a couple of years and I've been here in Minneapolis for six. But it's been, you know, I missed the naval service every day, and it was a great, very rewarding part of my professional work. And to all you veterans, thanks for your service. It's nice being here amongst all our veterans.
And, Director, we were lucky enough almost about 6 years ago, General Nash, who was the Adjutant General, introduced me to you, and I came out and met, and we talked about the idea of getting some of your doctors and researchers and your people on the air so that we could talk about all the great work that goes on in the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And you readily agreed, and I can't believe all that time has passed. We've been on a lot of shows together.
Well, as I talked about with you previously, sometimes it's hard to get the good news out about the VA. And so it's you have been one of our advocates, and we've been doing this show with Tom since 2014. So that's a lot of shows. Almost every month we get on military radio, and so he's your brief segment with me, and then Dr. Krebs and Helen and others you've had on consistently, Ron Bach over the years, some really important, some research, some other things we've been able to get out there. So thank you for letting us do that. It's been a good 5 years.
It's been a pleasure, sir, and meeting a lot of the great folks that work out here at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. You know I'm a patient out here. I got my flu shot this morning, Director, and we want all of our veterans to get their flu shots, but one of the things that General Jensen talked about in our opening line there was mental health and getting help. And one of the things you and I've talked about a lot is we know how to help our veterans if they're having issues, PTSD, TBI, suicide prevention, those type of issues. You have expertise out here. You have people that can help our veterans, but they have to ask for the help.
So one of the messages we try to get out frequently is that there's nothing to be ashamed of if you need some help occasionally. So, you know, we tell our veterans, if you're seeing your primary care doctor, if you're just here and something's bothering you, you know, we have same-day services for mental health and for primary care. So nothing to be ashamed of. A lot of us need help occasionally, and so it's good to ask, and we are prepared and ready to provide the kind of support our veterans need.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording live from the Flag Atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And my co-host is Director Pat Kelly. And, Director, we had, I think it was last week, we had a command sergeant major, the state command sergeant major in the Minnesota National Guard on, and they were talking about mental health. They were talking about drug and alcohol issues, all of those things. And his message to all of the troops, both Guard and Reserve and the state, was reach out and get help before it becomes a problem. And it's not something that you're going to have to wear the rest of your life. You're going to have to deal with it, but you can get the help, and then you can get on with your life, get on with your service, get on with your career. It's a very important message, isn't it?
Yeah, so we attempt to get to as many of those types of events through our service organizations or county veteran service officers, Guard and Reserve. You know, so that is exactly the right message, Tom. People should be no stigma with seeking help if you need help. So we do a lot of outreach, and I think, you know, a lot of veterans come here to get mental health services, and we're happy for that. We want to reach those veterans who are not getting services as well. So our outreach has been pretty extensive through the Guard, Reserve, and all those other types of service organizations that we talked about.
And, Director, one of the other things, one of the tough issues that we've taken on, you and I, quite a few times, is suicide prevention. And as we've discussed that with your experts and the Minnesota National Guard experts, the one thing that sticks with me is, for all our listeners and for everybody here today, if you see your veteran changing, if they're experiencing some kind of mental health issue, some depression, if there's a change, it's correct and it's proper to ask them, are you having trouble? Do you need help? And, of course, we talked about the Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255, press 1. But it's better to ask and have that discussion than have a veteran take their own life.
Yeah. So we recently, in fact, it was 2 weeks ago, we had the governor here, and we were upstairs, right up in Flag Atrium. And we talked about this issue. And one of the things that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has agreed to, they're hiring a suicide prevention coordinator at the state level. And we are going to use this as an opportunity to really get out to the communities that have signed up for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, those communities, companies that have signed up to be partners with the VA. And the idea being that get out there, talk to veterans, make sure they know what we can do for them, and make sure that they're getting help somewhere. It doesn't have to be at the VA, but somewhere. And so everybody has a role in that.
Director, I want to get an update if we can. It seems like every year we talk, and every year you take care of more patients throughout the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. How many outpatient clinics do you have now, and how many veterans are you taking care of?
Well, it keeps growing every year, and that's a good thing. So we now see about 105,000 veterans who are enrolled and are getting their health care with us here at the Minneapolis VA, or one of our 13 clinics. We have clinics 4 in the state of Wisconsin, 9 in the state of Minnesota, where veterans can get primary care, mental health care. Always do a lot of telehealth for those veterans who want to sort of talk to their doctor via the monitor. That works too. But we have all kinds of clinics here. We do everything here with the exception of transplants. So any veteran who needs specialty care services, mental health services, the whole array of primary care services or surgeries, we do it all right here and many of those other services at our community-based clinics. So veterans don't have to make that long drive down from Ely to get a flu shot. We don't want that.
Director, one of the other things we've talked about off and on over the years is the fact that you remodeled the women's clinic, and I think you've got a building project coming up for a special women's clinic coming soon.
Well, one of our guests, our first guest, was instrumental in that. We're building a new women's clinic. For those of you who are familiar with the medical center, when you're coming in the main entrance, off on the left-hand side, there's going to be a brand-new building, and that's going to be our women's health center. And that's engineered, and it's funded. It's a couple years away, but women's health continues to be an area of focus for us. That's one project. We have several mental health projects. We just opened one here less than a month ago. Hopefully we'll walk you through it before you leave today. And we're building, we have several large construction projects, as we always do. There's a lot of good construction going on at the VA. Sorry I didn't bring your hard hat this morning.
Director,
I intended to do
We're going to have to get that hard hat on. I've been teasing the director about wearing a hard hat ever since he got here, because there's lots and lots of projects going on. And, Director, we just got about a little less than a minute, but we're going to have on Dr. Aaron Krebs going to talk about opioids and women's health care out here. We're going to have on Helen Perlman, who's the executive nursing. I've got the title wrong, but she's in charge of all the nurses and a lot of other things. And then we're going to have on Ken Klein from the Paralyzed Veterans of America and talk about how you work closely with our veteran service organizations. And I can't be remiss. There's red vests all over the place. You've got a lot of volunteers out here. I don't think you could run the place without them.
Well, we have 1,500 volunteers. Anybody out here who wants to volunteer, we'll sign you up. So many of you do volunteer. You know, you see these red vest volunteers out here. We have 150 red vest volunteers. And what our veterans will tell you, if they have a question when they come to the medical center, these red vest volunteers are all over the place. So they will their mission is to help veterans when they come through.
My first question when I came in the door this morning was, where do I get my flu shot? And they told me to go up to the 4D, took care of it, and it was great. So, Director, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Aaron Krebs right here at the flag atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we're recording from the flag atrium at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And my co-host today is Director Pat Kelly. And Director, we kind of ran through a whole bunch of things in the first segment like you and I usually do, but you've got a special guest, one of your special researchers. Would you like to introduce her?
So our first guest is Dr. Erin Krebs. We are so fortunate to have her here. She's really one of our rising stars in the Minneapolis VA. So Dr. Krebs did much of her training here. In fact, she was the chief resident here some years ago. I don't know how many years ago.
That was 2003.
2003, not that many years ago. and since then, she has been in charge of our women's health clinic, and only recently, within the last several months, has taken over our very large general internal medicine clinic where most of our primary care is done. So Dr. Krebs is has remarkable energy. She does all kinds of things, to include some really significant and groundbreaking research. So we want to talk a little bit about women's health, a little bit about some of her research, but we are, again, very happy to have Dr. Krebs with us.
Happy to be here.
Dr. Krebs, welcome back to the show. Good to see you again. Dr. Krebs, the director and I touched on the fact that we have remodeled the women's clinic here, and you're going to build a new women's clinic. There are more and more women veterans all the time. Are they comfortable coming out to the medical center? Do they feel good getting here when they get here?
There are more and more women veterans coming here every day, and our goal is to make them even more comfortable. Every visit, we want them to be happy customers and come back and tell their friends. I think with our women veterans, maybe the word isn't out to the same extent that it has been out with male veterans, that the services are here. We have specialized care available. We're ready and excited to have you come to the Minneapolis VA.
Yeah, I understand you've got a new service, so you're providing some breast cancer prevention services now.
Yes, I could talk a little bit about what we already have and then what's coming on this front. So we have now for several years had a really excellent mammography program here for breast cancer screening. We have the state-of-the-art technology, the top-notch stuff that they have at all the high-level breast centers in town, and really expert mammographers as well. This is something we've had for a while. Recently, we added expert consultation services for women with higher risk for breast cancer, so we can have expert consultation with one of our women's clinic doctors to talk through all of the prevention options, medications, or MRI that might be indicated for some women at especially high risk.
And Dr. Krebs, it's my understanding from talking to you and some other folks out here that you can do almost anything for our women veterans except deliver a baby, but you'll still cover those services at another facility.
That's right. We are not going to start delivering babies here. That's not going to happen. But we do pay for that. We've got it covered.
So all of our women veterans, if they need some help and they're eligible, you've got the services. You can do everything but that.
Yes. And our brand new clinic will be just right in the front of the building. So that'll be an entrance directly into the women's clinic and also connected to the main hospital. So for those who don't enjoy going through the whole building all the way through to the women's health center, they'll have the option to just come straight from the parking lot right into our clinic. We're excited about that.
You won't have to see all these guys anymore, huh? Maybe that's good, maybe not, but as long as they're comfortable and you're taking good care of them, that's what's important, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay, we're speaking with Director Pat Kelly and Dr. Aaron Krebs, and we're recording today from the flag atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on our special show. And Dr. Krebs, we want to talk, I know you're doing some research on pain research and the whole topic of opioids that's been in the news so much this year. Can you fill us in on what's going on?
Well, I thought I'd talk about research that's specifically focused on those people who've been taking higher dose, longer term opioids for many years and still have severe pain. Many people don't know that most people who take opioids on a daily basis continue to have severe pain. So this is really a problem. They're taking medications that may be putting them at risk, and they're still having the pain problem that they started with.
So we're talking about the taking care of chronic pain, the pain that just won't go away. You
exactly.
have to deal with it
year after year.
Mm-hmm. And that wears people out, doesn't it?
It does, in a much different way than the kind of short-term pain that you expect to get better in a few days. That's easier to live with.
So how do you study that? How do you cure that? From what I've read, the use of opioids over a long period of time is not good. What's the theory? How can you fix that?
Well, you know, there's no easy fix or easy one-size-fits-all cure. What we know is that we really need to individualize treatment. I think where we went wrong is at one point in time, opioids were thought to be kind of a one-size-fits-all, good-for-every-kind-of-pain sort of treatment. But we've realized that actually pain is very individual. Each individual person needs a different kind of approach. So that's what we try to do, is figure out how to get the best individualized care to each person to treat their own unique kind of chronic pain.
And Dr. Krebs, I know from personal experience, you've got some fantastic pharmacists here, because I get treatment for type 2 diabetes and I get my insulin and so forth, but I talk to the pharmacists every couple of months, and then we talk about the blood readings and the insulin and all the rest of that, and they keep the doctor up to date, and they keep me feeling like I'm getting the proper treatment. Are you using them when you're in this study, and can you use those pharmacists to help with this chronic pain treatment as well?
Yeah, so the study that we're talking about right now is the VOICE trial. This is up and running at 10 different VA hospitals across the country. I'm the lead researcher here in Minneapolis, and one of the groups we're studying is really a pharmacist-coordinated care intervention where the pharmacist follows up very regularly with someone on the telephone, trying to help them find a better approach to managing their pain. And helping them maybe get those opioids reduced as well, so they don't need to use as much of that.
And the pharmacists pay a lot of attention. The one that calls me and has for several years, we've gotten to know each other very well, and she asks the questions, and it's like your friends calling up and saying, are we taking care of you? How's it going?
Yes.
Let's get this fixed.
Yes.
So it's a great experience, and I'll attest to that because it's working.
I think it's that really individualized, personalized care that makes a big difference, knowing there's somebody you can call and they'll give you the answers that you need, answer your questions, help you figure out the next step.
And Dr. Krebs, I think you've got a couple more studies coming up, don't you?
I do. We are a site for a new study that'll be starting here. The lead site is actually in Iowa, but this is a chiropractic care study. So looking at back pain and what the right dose is of chiropractic care. We don't think of dose so much for this kind of treatment, but how many sessions do you need? Do you need follow-up sessions over time? Start out intense and then even it out, have some follow-up later, or just a short burst of care? Those are the kinds of questions that we'll be testing in that study.
So the idea is to find out the frequency and the nature of the chiropractic care and study its use to see what works. But once again, it's individualized, isn't it?
It is, yes. So people who have back pain and are interested in chiropractic care might want to ask about enrolling in 2020, I believe, in the spring. So.
Director Kelly, here at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, it seems like every time I have another one of your researchers or doctors on, you're right at the leading edge of all the things that are happening nationwide. We're lucky to have the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and the healthcare system here.
Well, I think it's important for our listeners to know why the VA does research. And so you can see the things that Dr. Krebs is working on. These are things that make a difference in the lives of veterans, pain management, opioid reduction, chiropractic services. We have other researchers, Dr. Ron Bach's in the audience today. He's researching Persian Gulf illness. So these are all things that matter in the lives of veterans. So we want to convert that research into something that we can put into practice to make healthcare better, safer, and improve the lives of veterans. So our research matters.
And Dr. Bach, you've been on the show a couple of times. We're looking forward to having you back on as soon as you pop the top on that study to let us know if you've found a way to cure Gulf War illness. So I'm looking forward to having you on the show soon. It's some really fun, great things going on at the Minneapolis VA.
Yeah.
And Dr. Krebs, you're right in the middle of it, all of it, aren't you?
I am, yes. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the middle of too many things, but
well,
it's an exciting place to be.
Director Kelly tells me you can handle it, so I believe him.
I appreciate that confidence.
Well, one of the reasons that doctors come to work for the VA, in addition to the great mission of caring for veterans, is that they get the opportunity frequently to do some research and to teach other doctors and to be part of that, in addition to the very important clinical work that they do. You know, the VA trains 70% of our nation's doctors. So it's a good mission that we have here, and our doctors are really, along with our nurses and other support staff, really play an important role in furthering the improvement of veterans' lives.
And a great partnership with the University of Minnesota as well.
Yes, and great partnership with veterans. One of the things about these studies is that what we're doing now is we're having veterans advisory panels help us with these studies, help with the design, help us figure out how to do the recruitment, communicate with the people enrolled in the study so that they get to hear about the results. It's really been a fun innovation in research, I think.
Dr. Krebs, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Director, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be meeting with Helen Perlman, and we are, as I've said, recording from the flag atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center with my co-host, Dr. Patrick Kelly. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the flag atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And my co-host today is Director Patrick Kelly. And we're going to meet another one of his key people here in just a moment. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs operates domiciliary program in Hastings and Minneapolis. Both locations provide veterans with access to mental, medical, health, and chemical health support services. In addition, counseling, vocational rehabilitation, employment training, and stable housing is available. Our Minnesota Veterans Home Domiciliary Program just introduced the new 3PASS program. We provide a supportive environment that fosters a stable, healthy, and meaningful life for veterans. Being in a supportive environment allows us to connect the veterans in the domiciliary to many great resources within our program and those out in the community. The new program introduces the following 3 paths. The Earth Path, to ensure all veterans who are aging in place are getting the most out of life while working with them to coordinate the next milestones in their lives. The Fire Path, to enable veterans to live successfully in the community. And the Water Path, to ensure all veterans are receiving care customized to their individual progressing goals. To learn more, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Director Kelly, you have many partnerships in Minnesota, and one of them that you work closely with is the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and that facility in Hastings has got to be a nice resource to have if we've got some veterans that have some issues with either drugs or alcohol or chronic pain. They can go down there, live their lives, and still get some care.
Right. Yeah, we work with all the state veterans' homes and some of the special services that the state supports our veterans with. So a good partner. In fact, they have some employees who work right here in our building.
Very good, sir. And I want to go back to Dr. Bach once. We've had him on the show a couple of times, and he's doing this study of Gulf War illness. And we talked to him at the break. He needs two more veterans who have experienced that Gulf War syndrome, illness, whatever he's calling it these days. And so for all our listeners all over Minnesota, get down here. It doesn't hurt. Come in, talk to Dr. Bach as soon as he gets those next two people. 12 weeks later, we'll find out whether or not we found a treatment for Gulf War syndrome. And, Doctor, we want you to finish that. Director, we have another guest. Would you like to introduce her?
I'd be happy to do that. So Helen Perlman is our next guest. Helen is our nurse executive here at the Minneapolis VA. Helen is a retired Navy captain, nurse corps, retired in 2010 and served 9 years all here at the Minneapolis VA. In fact, Helen and I served together for almost 10 years on active duty. Both retired out of San Diego. She recruited me to come here to work for the VA. So I tell all of our new staff, if you don't like me, blame Helen, because Helen brought me here. So,
Helen, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. I'm much younger than Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, we can tell.
Well, thanks.
And I don't think anybody's going to blame you for bringing Director Kelly to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. How many nurses do you employ at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
We have about 1,400 nurses. They're not all full-time. I would say for full-time nurses, we have about 1,100, but that's about 1,400 people.
Helen, you must have a number of them that retire every year. How many do you have to hire just to replace those that are retiring?
Oh, we hire probably about between 5 and 10 a month that we hire.
And that keeps up with the demand?
It does. Here in Minneapolis, we have a nice pool of nurses that we can hire from. We do a little more recruiting in our branch clinics that are in some of the more highly rural areas. Sometimes those are the toughest to recruit for, so I'm glad to have this opportunity to spread the word that we often are looking for nurses in our rural areas.
So I think it's safe to say you're always hiring, you're always looking for good nurses to
always
take care of our veterans.
Always. We only hire the best.
And Director, beyond nurses, you're looking for doctors, you're looking for other staff as well.
There's a lot of opportunities. So we have about 4,500 people who work as part of the Minneapolis VA, and just with normal turnover, we're always looking for good people who want to serve veterans. So lots of opportunities.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording today from the Flag Atrium in the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Our co-host is Director Pat Kelly, and we're speaking with Helen Perlman, the nurse executive. And Helen, one of the things that we wanted to cover today was the Mission Act. Can you explain what that is and how it works?
Sure. The Mission Act is sort of the big brother to the CHOICE program, and that came online on the 6th of June. There are many elements to the Mission Act. Some of those elements are geared toward the VA itself with some hiring improvements, and many of those are geared toward veterans for health care and some other support services.
So, Helen, how does it work? Well, most of us, a lot of us in the Twin Cities live close enough. We just come out to the Minneapolis VA. We're taking care of people. Go up to the St. Cloud VA. You've got the outpatient clinics around. But if a veteran is a long ways away from care or not able to easily travel, how do they find out if they're eligible for the Mission Act?
Well, to be eligible, you have to be enrolled in the VA and have been seen in the past 24 months. Beyond that, you are eligible. You're eligible for community care if you if you drive longer than 30 minutes or have to wait longer than 20 days for a mental health or a primary care appointment, or if you need to drive longer than 60 minutes or have greater than a 28-day wait for specialty services such as surgery. We can send you to the community. You'd be eligible.
And Helen, what happens if a veteran needs urgent care or immediate health care? Do they have to, can they just go to the closest place? How does that all work?
Well, their urgent care benefit is a new benefit of the Mission Act. And so, again, the veteran has to meet the same eligibility of being enrolled in the VA and having been seen in the last 24 months. But there are many urgent cares that are in the network for veterans, and you can go to the VA locator tool to find those in the network. Generally speaking, I would say it's MedExpress and the CVS MinuteClinics. You have unlimited access to those urgent care visits. The first three will be free, and beyond that, there's a $30 copay, which you need not pay at the time you're seen. You'll be billed for that. If you're 100% service-connected, they're all free. We do encourage veterans to seek urgent care for those urgent care ailments, sore throats, earaches, perhaps a cut finger. But if you're really suffering from chest pain or something to that effect, might be a stroke, then you really do need to go to the emergency room.
So it's a question of don't worry about getting to the VA medical center. Get to the doctor that you need to as soon as possible, and we'll figure out how to pay for it later.
Correct. Do not drive past an emergency room to get here. If you need that care, go to the nearest emergency room.
But it's always good then to tell them that you're a veteran, you get your health care from VA as soon as you check in, so that they know that and they can start working on that.
That is a great point. And our emergency rooms in this area are very familiar with us. So once you notify them that you're a veteran, they will notify us, and we'll stay in contact with them to see if perhaps you want to be transferred here later on, but to make sure that we get those records and to consider if we can pay for that care because you're enrolled with us.
You know, I saw Doc Hamler walking by here a little while ago, and we had him on the show a while back. And, of course, he practices over at Regency, and he's out here a couple days a week. But one of the things he said was, just echoing what you did, get into the emergency care, get in there, get your care. And a lot of times within a day or two, once you're stabilized, then they can get you transferred out here to the medical center.
Absolutely. Once we have that first contact from either you or your family or the hospital that you're there, we will stay in contact.
Now, Helen, we just got a little bit over a minute left, but we hear about our medical records being online and available. Does the VA share the medical records with other doctors?
Well, best practice would be for that doctor to know what your health history is. And so when we send a veteran out to the community for care, we have always sent records to let them know what your health history is, the current complaint. Perhaps we've already done labs and images that would be important for them to take care of you. In the past, the veteran would authorize us to share those records. It did build in some delay that we would have to contact the veteran, make sure they had a release in their chart, and then we could begin to share those with the provider who was going to see them. And oftentimes that provider won't even schedule that appointment until they know what's going on with that veteran, so they know what kind of appointment to make.
So they can see the history.
Correct. The change with the Mission Act is that we share those records unless the veteran has told us not to. We don't have to have the veteran tell us to share the record.
Helen, we've just got about a minute left. What's your most important recommendation to any veterans that might be listening today?
Enroll in VA care. That's the best thing you can do.
And get out here to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system or St. Cloud or your outpatient clinics.
Right.
Director, a lot of veterans in Minnesota, and I imagine there's a lot of them that are maybe eligible for this care. They need to go talk to their county veteran service officers and put in a claim and find out whether or not you can help them.
I'll tell you, your county veteran service officers and your veteran service organization leaders, that's your best resource for learning about your eligibility and care at the VA. So know your county veteran service officer and your service organization leaders.
Good transition, Director, because our next guest is president of one of the local state veteran service organizations, and we're going to talk about that partnership going forward. But, Helen, I just want to thank you for being on the show again.
Thank you.
We had a good time the last time you were on over at on Veterans Day, and it's good to see you, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, recording today from the Flag Atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Flag Atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And our special co-host has been Director Pat Kelly. And Director Kelly, we've had some interesting guests on today, but I want to talk a little bit about partnerships now, because we've talked to you. You've partnered with MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, on veteran homelessness, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You've got all of the veteran service organizations. I know you were up to Camp Ripley a while back, and you were meeting with all those newly elected officials, and the county veteran service officers were over there. There's partnerships in Minnesota that I'm not sure exist in other parts of the country.
Yeah, one of the first lessons I learned when I joined the VA is that I was accustomed to working in a direct line of responsibility, and I had my boss. What I've learned in the VA is that we have many, many partners, and unless we're establishing and sort of building on those great relationships with our partners, we're not doing our best for taking care of veterans. So no greater partner than the veteran service organizations here in the state of Minnesota. And Ken and his Paralyzed Veterans for America is just an example of one of the many, many good partners we have.
And joining us right now is Ken Klein, the president of Minnesota's Paralyzed Veterans of America. Ken, welcome back to the show. You're going to be a frequent guest.
I just saw you a couple of weeks ago, and here I am again.
Here you are again. Well, we thought we should talk today about the partnership between the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and the veteran service organizations, which are American Legion, Vietnam Veterans of America, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, Marine Corps League. Of course, you've got a Marine Vice President there. We'll talk about him later. Military Order of the Purple Heart, AMVETS, Jewish War Veterans, and your organization. And, Director, I know a lot of these organizations have offices out here, and you must view it like your town halls. It's an opportunity to get feedback from the veteran service organizations on how you're doing taking care of all our veterans out here.
So that's helpful for me. It's also helpful for the veterans that come in, and you know, whether they're hospitalized. And you know, the service organizations know when their members are in the hospital, they go see them. They go do what they can to help them. And it also, in addition to the great feedback I get, a lot of the veterans will just stop by and visit with their service organization teams. It's a great camaraderie, and it's a great way to make sure that they're getting what they need from us. And if they're not, our service organization leaders will let us know.
And Ken, when I was back there by your office this morning, it's strategically located right in the spinal cord injury center,
right.
And right across from your office, there was all kinds of veterans in there getting services.
We're so fortunate to have our office right there in the SCI, the spinal cord injury, because that's where a lot of this our type of injured veterans go for their services and stuff. And our office is located directly across from the gym where they get their therapy. They come in for their annual evaluations. We get to visit with them. Inpatient, we're definitely visiting them all the time and stuff. So it's a great, great opportunity for us.
So, Ken, how would you describe your relationship over the years with Director Kelly and the leadership of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center? It looks to me like it's a great partnership.
It is a great partnership. And if I can just say one thing, I'm privileged enough to visit a lot of the VAs around the country. We do site visits. The PVA does site visits at all the spinal cord injury centers throughout the country. And I'm really discouraged in the fact that more service organizations are not located in the hospital. They're located outstate, or not outstate, but I mean down the road farther, and the veterans just can't get in to see them. I mean, we have a national service officer right down the hall from us that can work with the benefits for the veterans and stuff and make sure that they get the medical care that they deserve. It's just a phenomenal relationship that we have here in Minneapolis.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're recording today from the Flag Atrium of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And our co-host today has been Director Pat Kelly, and we're speaking with Ken Klein from Minnesota's Paralyzed Veterans of America. And Director Kelly, these service organizations gather together on a monthly basis in an organization called the Commander's Task Force. And we're going to have them all on next week and meet with the new commanders, and, of course, the president, Ken, has to have a different title. And the Marines have to have a commandant, but the rest of them have commanders. But they get together, and they trade notes, they trade information, they talk about the county veteran service officers, they talk about all the resources available for all their members, and they get together and they go up to the Capitol every year and talk about some important issues for our veterans. It's got to be it's got to feel good for you to know that you've got a great partnership with the Commander's Task Force and all those people. I know you were up there speaking to them a couple of weeks ago. What did you tell them when you were up there?
Well, I these were new commanders this year, so once a year we go up to Camp Ripley, mm-hmm. meet with the new commanders, although some of the adjutants and people like Ken have been around for many, many years, so they know my story better than I know my story. But we talk to them about what it is we do here at the Minneapolis VA. You know, a lot of times the leaders in these organizations, they may have questions from their constituents. They hear frequently from their members, and I meet once a month with the Commander's Task Force here in the Twin Cities too, and so that's a chance for them to ask me what's going on at the medical center, and if they're getting questions from their constituents, things that are not working, I can hear directly from the leaders, and so it's a good venue for me to hear from the people who are hearing from their constituents when we're not hitting the mark.
I think I'm hearing you telling me they're not shy, Director. Ken's laughing. You're not holding back with the director, are you, Ken?
No.
Well, they're all on the same page, and we've met with them again and again over the years, and they all want to do what's best to take care of our veterans, both here at the medical center and over at the state legislature, take care of those veterans and their families. And it's quite an organization, and Ken, one of your vice presidents, is taking a new position.
Yes, Todd was, I understand, elected to be the chairman of the Commander's Task Force for this year.
So we've got a Marine in a wheelchair leading the charge over to the
Capitol. Right down the road, right.
And he said he'd go in a straight line is what he told me.
And he said he'd behave today at this time.
Well, it's great. Todd's been involved in legislative issues for quite some time.
Right.
And I think he's looking forward to that challenge coming up.
He's very excited.
Ken, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners? I know that your organization is very active. There's a lot of activities, a lot of events.
Well, we do. We just got done having our annual banquet this past weekend where we had over 100 people show up and stuff, which was a great attendance for our veterans. We have coming up in December a Christmas luncheon that will be held at the Spinal Cord Injury Day Room. And we will be inviting all of the inpatients, all the staff, and all of the paralyzed veterans members to come in and have lunch with us.
Again,
and, of course, you'd be invited, too.
You're going to invite me? Well, we'll see what we can do. Ken, I appreciate you coming on the show again, and I hope you have a great year. And please wish Todd well in his new position.
I will, and thank you for inviting me.
Director, thanks, Ken. Director, we just got a couple of minutes left. What a fabulous facility. You've got great employees, great volunteers, partnerships all over Minnesota. You're working on suicide prevention and homelessness. You're taking care of the veterans. It's a kind of a big job, isn't it, sir?
Yeah. Although it is, you know, it's working with veterans. So after having served in the Navy for many, many years, I view this as a continuation of that opportunity. And one of the things I like most about my job, in addition to this mission, is that about a third of our staff are veterans also. So lots of contact with veterans, and I feel really connected with my prior work, being able to serve here at a military, at a VA hospital.
The continuation. Instead of taking care of our sailors, you're taking care of all the veterans now.
Now, these guys are a little older than the guys I was taking care of in the Navy, but that's all right.
Well, they were young one time, so
yes,
was
they
I,
were.
Long time ago in Vietnam. But these guys look pretty good. They look like they're getting good care, Director.
Good.
Director, I'd like to thank you for hosting us today. We've been talking about coming out here for years, and your staff that hooked us up, and Sergeant Ben and Sergeant Williams, they're cooking something up. They want us to come back out here once or twice a year and do the show. So watch out, Director. They're going to be talking to you.
Well, that'd be great, Tom. And again, congratulations on your approaching 500 shows. You're making a big difference.
9 years, sir, 500 shows. We're honored to be able to tell the stories of all the great work that's going on in Minnesota and all of our Minnesota National Guard and Reserve troops and, of course, all of the work that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs does hand-in-hand with you and MACV and the Veterans Service Organizations. It's just an honor and a privilege to tell that story. Thanks for joining us again today, Director.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tom.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Aaron Krebs, Helen Perlman, Ken Klein from the Paralyzed Veterans of America, my co-host, Director Pat Kelly, Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk to the new leaders of our state veteran service organizations as they meet to focus on the efforts on helping our veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.